And welcome to the long-lost meeting of the Regional Emergency Management Organization. Believe it or not, we have not yet met since March for a variety of reasons. Nope, March 22nd was the last meeting.
We have them every
2 months. They're every 2 months?
Yeah.
So I would like to call this meeting to order and begin by acknowledging that we are in Mi'kma'ki, the traditional territory of the Mi'kmaq people. And you have an agenda that was emailed out to you, and I think there's a couple of adjustments. Nothing of any substance, mostly clerical. Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
So moved.
And seconded. You've heard the motion. On the question, all in favor? Motion's carried. Let's go right to the item of the day. Election by ballot of the chair and the vice chair. And we'll turn it over, if you would please. And walk us through this.
Sure. I'll do my best. I'm pitch hitting for Alex right now. So, David, did you want your name to stand for chair?
Yes.
Okay. So if we want to, Joanne has passed around ballots. If you'd like to put anybody's name for chair, we'll do that one first. I will come around and put them in the box and then read them off. And the people who are voting on... through Teams, you can do the same and text the answers to me and I'll put it onto a ballot. So we're just going to do chair at this point.
Just a check mark?
Nominating the chair.
Well, the name, we have the names, just put a check mark.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you touch the outside of the circle.
Alex is here so he can pitch it.
You're good on these ones. We're not quite so fussy.
Only in pencil.
If there's no further nominations, then
we don't need to vote. Is there anyone at home?
There's two, and they're going to send me the notes. Are you done?
No, you got to call for nominations.
Oh, well, I thought that's what this is.
Well, yeah, but that is. This is the way we always did it here, by secret ballot.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yep.
Well,
it always goes into the
secret ballot
for all of our chairs.
What? There's only one candidate, isn't it?
Yes.
No. We don't have to.
Oh, I see what
this
you're
is
saying.
How you nominate.
Okay. Put the name on the paper.
That's how they nominate.
Yeah, it's not called. We don't do the three calls, whatever. Everybody gets an opportunity.
Last time you applied. Yeah, is that a day?
Yeah. How's the kids, Alex?
Good. They're stowed away at the Quinlan right now.
Ah. Quinlan. Grandparents, is it?
I'm just waiting for one last one from online, and then I will go ahead. So, David Mitchell, Wayne Thorburn, David Devenny, and Wayne Thorburn.
So you just want to check with each of the members who've been nominated if they're interested in having their name stand.
Okay, Wayne is not. The only other one was David Mitchell, and he's not in attendance right now.
Okay. I'm good.
And David Devenny is as well. Do we need to do a vote, or do we need to ask David Mitchell?
We shouldn't.
No, because he would have to do it in writing.
Alex, yep. I'm looking for guidance. I don't know.
Yes, Unless you have some kind of confirmation from the member Mitchell that he's interested, then you can't proceed with the vote. So,
I can ask David if you want me to. Up to you.
Is he online?
I have him on text right now.
Oh, yes. Do that. That would be great.
I got $20 that says it's a no.
I'm not taking that one.
He's responding now. I got the three dots.
The dots. Boy. Thanks, Tammy.
The suspense.
Yeah, he says he can do it.
Okay. So we've got the two Davids then that are nominated. So. Okay. So David Devenny is going to withdraw. So then David Mitchell can be our new chair.
Okay. Great.
Thank you, David, for all of your effort the last several years. Since I've been here, you've been the chair. So thank you. Yes.
So because the new chair is not present, you have to continue to lead the voting, Angela, for the deputy chair.
So on the ballots, we will now do nominations for vice chair.
There you go. Yeah.
Please. Okay. Floyd? Wayne Thorburn. So Floyd Shatford, Wayne Thorburn. David Devenny. David Devenny. Wayne Thorburn. Wayne Thorburn. And David Devenny. Will you be willing to stand? Floyd? Your name will stand, Wayne. No to Floyd. David?
No.
No? Okay. Perfect. So Wayne is our vice chair. Again. Thank you very much, Wayne. And by default, that means you're going to chair this meeting. David Mitchell's not here. You've got the agenda in front of you, or do you need a copy? Okay.
And I can stay right here, right?
Yes, you can, okay. Absolutely.
No. The next item on our agenda is approval of the agenda. But before that, is there any additional items to the agenda? Did we do that?
Yeah.
Oh, we've done that. I'm just following the order.
Yeah. Okay.
The minutes have been circulated, and I think maybe a revision. We need a motion to approve the minutes of March the 21st, 2022, as circulated.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Question? Question been called. All in favor?
Aye.
Contrary minded? Motion carried. Business arising from the minutes. Does anybody have anything arising from the minutes? Go ahead, please.
So one of the items is the emergency management bylaws. This also links to our municipal evaluation. All units have worked on the new bylaw, which is dictated in our intermunicipal services agreement to state that all of them need to be the same. I'm just still waiting for the final approvals from the province. There were one or two that had to make some slight changes, so hopefully by the next meeting those will have been approved by the province, so I'll leave that on until next meeting. But they are well underway. Most have had first and second reading. I'm just waiting again for the approvals.
Okay.
5.2, do you mind if I just continue?
Sure, no.
Okay. So the REMA Planning Committee, we've had some great meetings so far with the Planning Committee, and we've been working on the Hazard Risk Vulnerability Assessment. I'm just going to share my screen, and it is also in the... So what we've done is we've worked on... identifying what hazards we've got in the county, and then from there also ranked them. So our top five ranked hazards within the municipality is hurricane, forest or urban fire, flood with storm surge, flood and or storm surge, and then the next would be power and or communication failure and supply chain disruption. So those are our top five, and you can see where the rest of them kind of fall. So we've still got some high likelihood but moderate impact for snow and ice storms, extreme cold or heat, and we've got medium likelihood with serious impact for transportation accident or epidemic and pandemic, and low likelihood but critical impact would be a solar storm. So and then they go among and lower from that. So what this will help identify is, first of all, we haven't done one since 2015. It is one of our requirements within the Intermunicipal Services Agreement, which is dictated by the Emergency Management Act. And from here, as we work through, we're going to be starting to identify some of our critical areas, our critical infrastructure within the areas that link to these, and then identify if there's any supports that we need either from any of the municipal units. And if we don't, then we'll identify them as possible items that just need to be indicated in our contingency plans. So we'll still have probably one more meeting on finalizing the hazard risk vulnerability assessment, and then I'll start working into the actual emergency management plan and contingency plans. The contingency plans will work from the highest to the lowest so that we really are identifying those ones that are higher. So we are one meeting delayed based on the original work plan that we did flesh out. So there will be one extra meeting at the beginning of the year. I believe it's in February, I think, for the Planning Committee. And then from there, we'll start working. So we are with that one meeting delayed. So what I'm looking for this is a motion. If we're in agreement, if you think anything needs to be adjusted, either higher or lower based on likelihood and impact. And if not, we'll look for a motion for approval, which we will then mark this as Lunenburg County's 2022 Hazard Risk Vulnerability Assessment. Any questions or comments?
Motion on the floor. Do we have a seconder, please?
Second it.
Mayor DeVinny. Ready for the question?
Question.
Question call. All in favor? Contrary minded? How did our online people do? Did they?
I see a
yeah, Matt's Matt raised. Yeah.
Okay. Motion is carried then.
Perfect.
Thank you. So I guess we'll move to item 6, which is new business.
Yeah.
6.1, Nova Scotia Community Culture and Heritage Generator Grant Program for Comfort Centers.
Yes. So Nova Scotia Community Cultures and Heritage has created a generator grant program. Possibly you've heard about it. This is a grant of up to $50,000 for generators. It can either be used for new generators or repair of existing or replacement. What I've done is I had sent it out to all of the municipal units to see if any of their current conference centers needed upgrades and or if there are any new conference centers that needed. So I have in the hopper, the deadline was last Thursday, so November 17th. So we've got Western Shore Volunteer Fire Department put a grant in, Michelin Social and Athletic Club, New Germany Legion, Chester Baptist Church, Petite Riviere, and Hebb's Cross. The last three, they put in for either an upgrade or a replacement as theirs failed prior, some of them prior to Dorian and one during Dorian. So we've got three that are new and then three that are replacements as well. So my understanding from speaking with Community Cultures and Heritage is that there will be another grant coming out for another $50,000. 80% of it is covered, and it will be sometime around February. So the municipal units, I'm just waiting for the final, but that's what she's told us, and I did ask if I'm allowed to share it, and she's shared it actually with many of the comfort centers who called her directly. So there will be another one coming out, so it'll be a total of $4 million that they've put to the generator grant program since Hurricane Fiona. This is probably the first time I've seen one since 15 to 17 years. Like, it's been a long time since the JEP program, the Joint Emergency Management Emergency Preparedness Program, was out. So we've got a lot of interest. I did speak to a different person at Community Cultures and Heritage the other day, and they said they had a lot coming in. So I expect more will come in February, because several that we were working with weren't able to get their quotes in order to submit the application. So the focus is on comfort centers who have approval from the municipality. So all they had to do was work with me, and I gave them the standard MOU that we've got. And if they signed that, that was their document that would attach with it. And second to that will be other community organizations. If they have extra funding that didn't get approved for municipal, then it'll go to other additional funding. So we'll potentially have another six. Well, I shouldn't say six. Two of these would have been existing comfort centers. Hebb's Cross wasn't officially deemed with us, although they thought that they were. So there will be two that would be upgrades, and then four new ones if we can make this work and we get the funding for it. And then in February, if there's any other comfort centers that you're aware of or could be comfort centers, please let me know. I'll work with them. It was a very tight deadline this time, and even getting quotes for people was challenging, but we worked through it as best we could. So great news on the comfort center side from that perspective. Yes. Yep, go ahead.
So it's a maximum of 50,000 per application, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and 80% is covered by the province, and 20% would be in kind and or through the municipal unit wherever possible. I stress to them to increase the in kind to make up that, because otherwise they're going to be coming back to REMO, and REMO doesn't really have the funds for that.
Yes.
And or into the each municipal unit. So wherever possible, I've stressed the in-kind. Some volunteer fire departments did say that they would use their fundraising budget for it. So we'll work on it once we get them, but that's where we stand at this point.
I guess we've these are the six that came in. Have we looked at them geographically? And
yep.
I guess to that, are there voids in our system that really we need to reach out to someone in an area to apply to be a comfort center?
Yes. So I don't have the map updated on this computer, but I do have it, and there are still some voids in some areas. One specific one was the New Germany, so we did reach out. We also don't have anything in Bridgewater, which is, we did work with the Baptist Church, and they declined. They are not interested at this time. And so we worked with Michelin Social Club. That would actually help both the town as well as the municipality for any of those individuals. And then Western Shore came on, and the Chester Baptist Church was one, but they had a failure with theirs. So we did identify some pockets of locations that did not have. Between now and the next one rolling out, I will be working with municipal units to share, and I know that the AECs and the CAOs have reached out to let me know some of those gaps, and we're just trying to find some facilities that might actually be able to be utilized with that. Yeah.
What was the funding level for the potential second call in February?
Same thing. It hasn't been announced, but what she has indicated is that it'll still be the same. $50,000 is the maximum. Up to 80% is covered by the province, so 20% would be in kind or through the municipalities.
You said it was a $4 million grant.
Thank you.
Yeah, $2 million now, and then $2 million in February. Yep.
So, do we need a motion to approve?
No, that one's just information only.
Okay.
Yeah,
no, great.
That one's information only. 6.2, so mutual aid agreement. So we previously had a mutual aid agreement with Annapolis, but it was very old, and it was actually signed through the chair of REMO, which really would not work because it really has any resources would be utilized through each municipal unit. I've been working with Kings County, Annapolis County, and Queens County, some of our neighbors, and they are all interested in doing a mutual aid agreement. And so what it would look like is if they need any resources or either equipment or personnel, so potentially I'm assisting to, you know, help in their ECC if they needed it, if we didn't have an issue, or likewise have some staff come in and or resources. And it would be that the CAOs get direction from the mayor or warden, and then they work with the CAO in the neighboring unit to see what they can offer, and from there it would come back. And so really it would be the CAOs working through the direction of the mayor or warden. We've got the three who are interested, and if agreeable, we'd need a motion to approve. All three of the other units have approved it. The information is the same. The CAOs have all looked at it. Tom, from a legal perspective, has reviewed it. And the other municipal units have agreed to it. And if so, at the end, I've got some that we can sign if you're interested in doing that. So I would need a motion if you're interested in pursuing mutual aid agreements with Queens County, Kings County, and Annapolis County.
You've heard the request. It's what's your pleasure?
I'll put the motion on the floor. Okay. Good.
Moved and seconded that we have mutual aid agreements with Kings County, Queens County, and Annapolis County. Is there any further discussion? Ready for the question? Question called. All in favor? Contrary minded? Motion is carried.
Okay. Thank you, Peter.
Okay, great.
6.3, emergency preparedness. So emergency preparedness week is always the first full week of May. This year I wasn't able to do a whole lot. My sister had passed away that week, and so what I did have planned got canceled. However, what I would like to do next year is to do a bit of a big push within the whole county. So my vision is... since we promote 72-hour preparedness and getting residents prepared, and we know that everything at the really starts with the individual at the preparedness level, I'd like to work with businesses, organizations, and associations. And if they're interested, it would be free to participate. And I would have brochures, just a standard one-page double-sided brochure for them, which would be for the resident. And the idea is, we know that it takes 7 to 14 times for an individual to see a certain message before it really kicks in. So I'd really like to try to blast all businesses and communities and have the information across all of the community for anybody who wishes to participate. So if you're a grocery store, I would work with them to say, okay, what kinds of things would be shelf stable? If you're a hardware store, let's promote generators and all of the things. So whatever it is that your business is, we'll find some way to link it to emergency preparedness. We'll have a poster for them. We'll have some brochures for residents to take. For this year, I was awarded a $500 grant with FireSmart Canada, and I purchased a generator, which was supposed to be the prize for this current year's event, and it got canceled, unfortunately. And so I would be using that same generator so anybody who wishes to participate can put their name in for a ballot, and they get a free generator. And so it's a bit of a promotion. It's great. I'm thinking it's a great way to really share that message wherever residents go, whoever is interested. If At the end of that week is when I will be having my large event, which is the Touch a Truck / Open House. All of our first responders, our community partners who work with REMA will be there. If any of the organizations wish to participate as well, they can. I'll have their names on the REMA website. It'll be used in social media. So any of the participating businesses, associations, and partners that are interested would have some publicity through it as well. And so what I'd be looking for is, we currently in this fiscal budget, we had set aside $3,000 in contingency, which was originally meant for the search and rescue, and they declined the need for it this year. I'd like to see if we could utilize that $3,000 for printing the brochures and posters for general emergency preparedness and outreach, so that I can use some of this current year's budget for that. But because it's in contingency, it's not one that I can just kind of use. It's kind of that dedicated. So if possible, I'd like to have a motion that we utilize the $3,000 from contingency to be used for emergency preparedness and outreach.
So I'll move that the Regional Emergency Management Advisory Committee approves $3,000 from the contingency fund for emergency preparedness and outreach.
Austin. Moved by Mayor Devaney.
Great.
Second. Moved by Mayor Bolivar, second by Mayor Devaney.
By David. Right.
Ready for the question? All in favor? Contrary minded? Motion is carried. That's somebody.
Great.
Can I get a motion on the floor for $3,000?
It's going pretty easy here today.
Yeah. You will be seeing more, and I'll be working with your municipal units and staff to kind of see how we can get the message out, how we can get those organizations involved, and I think it can be a really good and probably the first opportunity in the province to really do that push as to let's do something really broad within the whole county. So that's what my vision is this year. Number seven, Wayne. For the EMO updates, Andrew's not here. He sends his regrets, but I've got a small update from him. Nova Scotia EMO, they've hired several temporary staff to help with the Hurricane Fiona recovery, and they've currently got 4 full-time positions posted now as well. So we hopefully will start seeing some movement, some positive movement within Nova Scotia EMO as those positions get hired. They are going to be doing a regional exercise in Barrington and Shelburne for next June. They've asked that Lunenburg REMO assists in the simulation cell. So if it works in my schedule, I'll assist with that from the Nova Scotia EMO side. On the 23rd, they are doing an after-action report for Hurricane Fiona in Cole Harbour, and any questions or comments should be given to the EMC, so to me. So I will be attending, and Bruce Parks, who is my backup, he'll be joining as well. So if there are any feedback from Hurricane Fiona, I know we didn't get hit like anybody, most of the other parts of the province, but if there are anything specific, please let me know prior to Wednesday morning, and I'll share the feedback there and ask for it to be included in the after action report. And then they have worked on the training plan for the new fiscal, and it has been populated for Western Zone. So I've got the dates of when they're planning things as well.
I bring that number 8.
Yeah, number 8. My updates. Okay, so I've got a few updates here. So for training, so this is kind of since March until now, so there's a few things. So we've done a basic emergency management course here. Myself and a few of the AECs and fire service coordinator attended a community crisis workshop for large-scale disasters, and it was a great workshop in Truro. We've actually had several new AECs, so I've been doing not only one-on-one training with the AECs, but also broad with the whole group, and that's been going really well. I've attended the Public Safety Field Communication Interoperability Forum, as did several of our AEC colleagues. We just recently held the Emergency Coordination Center course, and the Incident Command Center 200 course was postponed, but it's scheduled for December. So we've been continuing with training and getting everybody trained and continue the training so that we're always prepared. On the exercising side, We've been doing some smaller exercises. I've been removing myself from being on call on weekends, and I've got the AECs taking over the on call so that it gives me a bit of a break. I'm still in the evenings, but over the weekend they alternate every 5 weeks. So we're doing a lot of the training and exercises so that they feel comfortable for if they ever get a call or there is something that's going on. So we've been doing some training on using the internal IM responding program to notify all of the group. We've done the alert ready training with the province, so how to use it, what are the reasons for using it, also samples on how to write one. We've done requests for assistance through the province, and we've just started doing a state of local emergency one with the AECs. We will be doing in December with the CEOs and AECs an actual state of local emergency training and exercise. We recently did a water contamination exercise with the AECs and CEOs, which went really well. And in the new year, I will do a state of local emergency for the mayors and wardens and you know, the group here for advisory, so that everybody knows if we ever needed to, what actually we call it for and how it's utilized, as well as what we would do behind the scenes and what we need your input for. So we'll take one of those meetings for it and add that on, or use it as a standalone for it. So in the new year, we'll do that. Activations. So we had a bell and some dispatch outages. We obviously had Hurricane Fiona. We had a Department of Environment call regarding a water issue, and it turned out to be a water main break, but they didn't know it at the time, and they had a call, so they contacted us. And 2 weekends ago, we had an evacuation at the Bridgewater Hotel. For that, it was a two-day response. We housed about 27 people overnight. We worked with Hempville and Bridgewater Fire Department, Bridgewater Police, New Minas and Truro Hazmat Team, Red Cross, and we had AECs assist from Bridgewater, Mahone Bay, Chester, MODL, and CAOs from Bridgewater and MODL. So it was a long response. There was a lot of very vulnerable people involved in that. The best outcome was that they were able to get back in just prior to the second night, so that was the best outcome that we could possibly have. So that's from the activation side. Comfort centers. So you'll see behind me the comfort center sign. So this was approved last fiscal, and we've finally gotten them out. They've all been delivered to everybody, and all have been... they had an option if they wanted us to install them or if they wanted to. So if they wanted us to, those have all been installed. But if not, they all at least have them. So you'll probably start seeing them. They are fully reflective. The bottom open sign is with wing nuts. It's stainless steel, so it won't rust, and they can turn it, and then it's just blue on the regular side. So those have been sent out. And I had a question, and I'm just going to... 22 comfort centers are currently listed on our website. And regarding comfort centers, I would like to make, I have made, I'm not asking permission, I have made, it doesn't need to get a vote, so I just want to change the language. I've made one small change on the comfort center guidelines. And what had happened after we did the policy in 2021 is we had some comfort centers that felt on the well, safe water drinking, that it was too strict. And what the terminology was that they must have their well tested every 2 years. After doing some research from hearing from several of the different facilities, I did some research with Department of Environment and Public Health, and it actually is only dependent upon, not only, but it's dependent upon the number of times the facility is used, how the facility is used, and the number of people on average that use it. So it can't just be everybody must within 2 years, because some facilities actually don't require it. So I've changed the terminology just to say any facility shall meet the safe water drinking guidelines as required by Department of Environment and Public Health. Just to take that extra bit out to give a little bit of leeway. So it'll hopefully encourage a few of those ones that haven't signed on to possibly sign on, because that was the only comment that we heard regarding it. So hopefully we'll be able to start seeing a few of those come in. So last week we had an alert. The alert ready was tested. Hopefully you got it on your phones, possibly your TV, et cetera. So if you didn't, or if you hear of any of your residents that didn't, feel free to send them over to the REMA website. There's a page dedicated to, you know, specific questions and FAQs on Alert Ready. Additionally, the alertready.ca is a great place to go, and it has been shared by all of the municipal units and things like that. There also is a survey, so if you haven't filled out the survey and you did get it or did not get it, the organization Palormex works with a company called Piazzi, which is the Public Emergency Alert System Incorporated. I have to say it really fast so I don't forget what they stand for. And they're doing the survey. So it's great information, and that also is linked on the REMO social media page. So if you did or didn't get it, they want to hear it either way. It gives great information, and we have shared it. So also if your residents are questioning it, great thing to do. Finally, some good news stories. I'm just going to take a pause for 1 second. Okay. I attended the AIM conference, the Atlantic Infrastructure Management Conference, and have since taken some climate adaptation courses. I'm doing a micro-credential, which is 4 courses. And emergency management and climate change are often not brought to the same table. And how I look at it is, if we don't look at things from the climate side at the front end, we know that for every dollar spent on mitigation is $13 to $15 Canadian dollars on recovery. So if we aren't looking at it on climate change time, we're going to look at it on the emergency side. And we actually then are also looking at it more in a recovery perspective and having to make really quick decisions that might not be the right decision. So I've taken the course to really try to look at both emergency management and climate change. So if any of your units are working on anything climate related and want me to come to the table to share any information, even from an emergency perspective, happy to do so. And look at things from that aspect. Have continued to do public outreach and education. We've gone to several fire departments and community organizations. So if you know of any that are looking, please send them my way. The Amateur Radio Club, we finally have the antenna set up here, and they were in last week and did a test on all of the equipment and cleaned it out a little bit, so it's all working really well. So the backfall until we got the antenna up was that they would utilize it from a mobile vehicle as well as their homes, so the ideal is to have it here, and this is where the Emergency Coordination Center, the main one, would be. The secondary is in Chester. So that's up and running, and we'll start seeing them more frequently doing some testing and getting things, but we are definitely operational again. And then finally, we've got some really great successes from our communications teams. So one of the things that we had wanted to work on was to get the REMO website up and then getting the social media for REMO. And I share with generally Patrick and Jen and Sarah the information, and then they make it pretty and post it for me. And then from there, all 5 of the municipal units actually share from the REMO page. So REMO is starting to get more people, but it's really that one stop where each of the municipal units don't need to have their own messaging unless there's something specific to it, and they're using the REMO page to share from that. So it's been going really well, and they're finding all of the comms teams are finding it really helpful and useful to be able to do that. So it is working really well as we envisioned it, and kudos to the comms team for that. So that is my update. Any questions?
It's quite an update.
You need to breathe.
No, it's a long one. It's been a while since March.
The committee might have not met since March, but it looks like you've been very busy, and thank you for that report. Well done. Thank you very much. We didn't add any items. Is there any items that anybody wants to add now? If not, our next meeting will be Monday, January the 16th, 2023, 1:30 p.m. here, and I'm just would make sure that it's a hybrid meeting as well. If some people can't make it, then they can come in virtually.
Yeah, all of our future ones will be, so the link will be the same for us. Yeah.
So
January 23rd? Okay. Thank you.
January the 21st?
23rd.
We'll have that updated in the minutes then.
Okay, January the 23rd. Having done that, we need a motion to adjourn.
Yes.
So moved. Mayor DeVinny. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody online.